Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
It's great to be here. It's really nice to be here and to be able to enjoy how gorgeous this place is. Yeah, really. Every little detail, and I know there are many of us involved with detail here. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a beautiful place to come. And as I was telling people at Every Day Zen that I was coming here, they were envious. Oh. No. They were, yes.
Not a good emotion.
Sometimes. Yeah.
They should come.
Yeah. Some of them have come. That's why they actually are envious. They know. If you can't hear me, put your finger up, okay, and I'll remember to be bolder. I want to start with a poem, actually just an excerpt. This is a book by Joy Harjo. Joy Harjo is a beloved poet laureate. She was twice in the poet laureate seat of the United States. And comes from native tribes, the Miccosukee, and also the Muscogee tribe, Oklahoma. She's a saxophone player. She has her own band called Poetic Justice. She's a mother, a grandmother of many, and has been a long-time peace activist. So she's written this book among many, and this is called Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings. And this is an excerpt from her poem, For Calling the Spirit Back from Wandering the Earth in its human feet. Don't worry. The heart knows the way. The heart knows the way, though there may be high rises and interstates and checkpoints, armed soldiers, massacres, wars, and those who will despise you because they despise themselves. The journey might take you a few hours, a day, a year, a few years, 100 years, maybe 1,000, or even more. Watch your mind. Without training, it might run away and leave your heart for the immense human feast set by the thieves of time. Do not hold regrets. When you find your way to the circle, to the fire kept burning for you by the keepers of your soul, you will be welcomed. You must clean yourself with cedar, sage, or other healing plants. Cut the ties you have to failure and shame. Let go the pain you're holding in your mind, your shoulders, your heart, all the way to your feet. Let go the pain of your ancestors to make way for those who are heading in our direction. Ask for forgiveness. Call upon the help of those who love you. These helpers take many forms: animal, element, bird, angel, saint, stone, ancestor. call your spirit back. It may be caught in corners and creases of shame, of judgment, of human abuse. You must call in a way that your spirit will want to return. Speak to it as you would a beloved child. Welcome your spirit back from its wandering. It might return in tatters, in pieces. Gather them together, and they will be happy to be found after being lost for so long. Your spirit will need to sleep a while after it's bathed and given clean clothes. And now you can have a party. Invite everyone you know who loves and supports you. Keep room for those who have no other place to go. Make a giveaway. Remember, keep the speeches short. Then you must do this. Help the next person. Help them find their way through the dark. Call your spirit back. So we might be feeling at this moment as if our spirits are wandering in a space without a map. Maybe a space or a gap between known worlds. Sometimes in Buddhism we call it a bardo. It's the transitional state between death and rebirth. And while it can be frightening, it can also be a place of transformation. We can call our spirits back. And in these recent days, or months, maybe even years, it might feel like we have been in a bardo. It's said that if we find ourselves there, it's likely we will be facing the Buddha Akshobhya, the Buddha who is holding a mirror. His gift is mirror wisdom, reflecting everything just as it is. And the teachings of Akshobhya's mirror is this: do not look away. Do not avert your gaze. Do not turn aside. This teaching calls for our radical attention, for our commitment, for our acceptance of what is. Many people view the world as a battleground where good and evil, forces of darkness, people struggling pitted against each other. It can be persuasive, especially when we feel threatened or unsafe. Such a view is really good for arousing a kind of heroic spirit fueled by our egos, summoning up the blood in us, the hot blood, using the fiery energies of anger and militancy. The underlying motto of "you're either with us or you're against us." It's very good, too, for lending a sense of uncertainty, instability, a reassuring thing that we're fighting a righteous battle to counteract the uncertainty. We know we can win. We know we're noble. We know we're right. And often it can also be a way of not feeling our suffering. A masking of our grief, our loss. But we can call our spirits back, call upon them, animal, element, bird, angel, saint, ancestor. Call upon the power of those who love us and who we love. and we can help the next persons, help them through the dark, welcome the new generations. That's our job now. We have to include even those who may not have any other place to go. And today, perhaps, just as a practice, we cannot think of anyone or call anyone them or they. All just us. So today, let's call our spirits back. Let's speak in a way as if we're talking to a beloved child. Maybe a child who's lost a parent. Maybe a child who has learning disabilities. Or a friend, maybe a stranger who appears in tatters and pieces. Let's make room. Let's really welcome all the feelings today and not push them away. Giving ourselves a chance to just feel how it is. Just like when we were in the backyard here, and we could feel it's kind of a wonderland back there. And those little squirrels, they were pretty upset that we were coming in there. All racing around like, whoa, who are these people? We don't ever see anybody like this. But then they calmed down. And there was the pear tree. And there was the bell in the tree, and the Buddha was there. That's just how it is. So let's not avert our gaze from the deep grief and the disruption we may have felt in this last week, no matter who won. Let's not misidentify ourselves as being stuck in how upset we are. And at the same time, let's just acknowledge there's pain, there's suffering. As I was saying last night when I was having dinner, a nice dinner with Dan and with Diane, Norman tells us often, everybody suffers all the time. Just start from there. So recently, I've been studying and teaching somebody who also knows a lot about suffering, Joanna Macy, who you all may know. 94-year-old activist, peacemaker, eco-dharma master, translator of poets. If you don't know her, you can start maybe looking into a book called World as Lover, World as Self, or Coming to Life. Another one, or A Wild Love for the World. She's become somebody who connects many different movements with her Zen practice, many different ways of being in the world, of connecting, of sharing what started out in the early, I think, 1970s in the Tibetan refugee camps in Nepal. She was a worker there for a long time. Then she went to Sri Lanka. She was part of the Sarvodaya movement there, which is a peace movement, the Gandhian inspired movement. But she called her early work grief and despair work. And I was really attracted to it when I was first living in New Mexico in the mid-80s. I remember somebody saying, why are you interested in grief and despair, Sean? Well, I think it was because I had encountered it as a child in my family. And I nobody ever talked about it really. And so I wanted to know, and I was very attracted. She's a beautiful, very magnetic looking person. And I thought, okay, if this person, she seems whole, she seems like she's sort of a lit up kind of person, I wanted to study with her. And the first thing she said was, don't bypass all the feelings. Don't do a spiritual bypass. She began to teach us as a group to be honest with each other, to be caring, to be friends on the spiritual path. And I think last time I was here, I actually talked about spiritual friendship, or I have talked about it often, where the Buddha's great disciple Ananda says, Lord, isn't spiritual friendship half the spiritual path? And the Buddha says, no, it's the whole of the spiritual path. And you can see a teacher as a spiritual friend, you can see each other as a spiritual friend, and you can be the spiritual friend to yourself and extend yourself to others. And this is a time in the world where we have to extend ourselves, offer our hand to people, a smile. You know, a smile is amazing. You walk down the street, you smile at somebody, they're like, oh. But mostly they kind of want to do it back. Very unusual if somebody doesn't have some sort of positive response. So Joanna really dove into nuclear war. That was one of her things. I mean, it doesn't get much scarier than that. But she also wanted to talk about the way veterans were coming home with post-traumatic stress, with drug addictions, with alcohol addictions. She talked about pornography and pedophilia and what that was doing to people, making harder being a family. And then the systemic racism that I think we've all been exposed to recently, much more in a media blast than we ever have been before. Misogyny. Hatred of women. Poverty. Class discrimination. We don't talk much about that in this country, but it's here. Big time. And just being traveling last week in the airports, you know, there's the place where the gold members stand, and here the platinum people can stand here. And you're in group one? No, you're in group eight. You know? So many, many injustices, hurts, these pains gnawing at the soul of our American life, poisoning the veins of our Mother Earth. So Joanna's teaching was always about calling our spirits home, calling them back from wandering around worried. Oh, what am I gonna do? Just come back, come back, be together, come back. She wanted us to acknowledge the pain. She had a way of doing experiential teaching that's all documented in her books. And if you do the sort of, the order of some of them, they just have a very powerful effect of bringing us into grief, loss, and relief. Like so many great prophets and poets. She asked us repeatedly to go deep into ourselves, to not avert our gaze, and to bring the beauty out. She saw the grief and despair and as a path of awakening. And I guess that is something I would also tell you. In my experience of all the great teachers I've had the chance to be around, that if they don't acknowledge that in themselves, they may not be very useful. They wouldn't understand. To hear the pain of others is what teachers are here for. And you are all teachers. I'm not just saying that. You are all teachers. And you are all, just as I am, students. And we learn from each other. Joanna, in particular, talked about the gifts of darkness and light, that Akshobhya mirror, luminous mirror of wisdom, and that it was Jacques Cousteau who forced her to look into it. That's what made her become an eco-dharma student and teacher. She says, "What I saw could not be denied. The experience of Mother Earth under siege is burned into my memory, and it led to my understanding that despair is a gateway to awakening." One of the many great things she did in her life, and she's still doing them, even though she is a real elder at this point, and physically she's not as mobile as she used to be, but she's very keen in her mind. But one of the things she did early on was she and a friend, a colleague, Anita Barros, translated all of Rilke, a new translation, beautiful translation. And her favorite piece from him is this little three-line poem. "Let this darkness be the bell tower, and you the bell. As you ring, what batters you becomes your strength. Let this darkness be a bell tower, and you the bell. And as you ring, what matters and what batters becomes your strength." So I see her as a mighty protector, as someone I turn to in my own mind's wandering, looking for guidance, not looking for somebody else to take what I know is my path, what I have to do myself. But I look for guides and I look for friends. And I can hear others calling their spirits back. And it's very helpful to know that you've got friends out there and that we're all facing into an uncertainty that, you know, ancient people have faced into. Many histories document that our time that we're in right now is not new. We are in a tectonic shift of consciousness, of the way the world is. And when I asked a question recently to Norman, could I do it, this thing I wanted to do, and he said, yes, yeah, you can do it. I'm going to say to us, you can do it. You can make the shift. And you can do it, really do it together, knowing you're not alone. Knowing that the power, that the real power is joining people into that great awakening. So the ones who are coming are really depending on us. In that Joy Harjo poem, you know, the thing you have to do at the end, you have to help the next ones. And we have to help them so that there's a world for them to be in. And I was very aware that one of the things that's so powerful is the ability to forgive and not necessarily hold on to all that's been done that's painful and hurtful, but only again after we've acknowledged. Do I feel grief? Is there something wrong with me? I don't feel grief. Do I not feel grief for one thing, but I feel it for something else? What do I care about? What do I care about? Are there words, are there gestures that we want to offer into the world? Are there ways in which we want to show up a little differently? If I were to ask you how many of you are right now suffering from some great loss, at least a third of you, maybe half of you, would want to raise your hand. That's just part of life. And that was part of what the Buddha taught. He said, O monks, which do you think is more, the waters of the four great oceans or the tears that you would want to shed in this lifetime? And then he answered himself and said, we are all part of this vast ocean of tears. Greater are the tears you shed and will shed, greater than all the waters in all four oceans. So now we sit and we discover our experience of tears. We share it with each other, but we do it saying to ourselves, it's okay, it's okay. I don't have to skip on to the next thing right away. Take the day, go for the walk, call a friend, clutch their hand, tell them, you're great, you're great, I love you, I love you. Thank you so much for being my friend. It just is magic to do in the world. I once heard a talk by Jack Kornfield many years ago. He's a Vipassana teacher. Many of you might know. He talked about trusting ourselves, trusting our capacity to feel compassion even for those who we may not agree with politically. The talk was probably 40 years ago, and we were still struggling to understand Vietnam and all the losses that there were there. Some of you were not alive, I think. That time, I'm looking at Vishnu, maybe you were. And Jack told us that one of the great temples built in America in recent years is the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. It's visited more than any other monument in all of the United States. And said that millions of people each year walk by. It's a long, black, low wall with 58,000 or more names on it, all the ones who were lost, whose names we know. And Jack read a few quotes from the notes left on the wall by people who either knew the name of someone or just felt they wanted to write something down in response to the grief and the loss, all that death. And so I went back and I found that talk and I copied down a few of the quotes I want to read to you. Dear Cousin Eddie, I'd give anything to have you here again, to shell one more pecan on our grandma's porch together. I miss you so much. All my love, your Cousin Annie. Another one. Just wanted you to know I love you, brother. I still talk to Kathy and your babies. They're growing, and they're so proud of you. Somehow you're part of me, bro. I'll watch over them for you as best I can. I'll see you soon. Just wanted to let you know everything's okay. Another one from some someone who'd been in Vietnam, and he said, I was only 20, and I was put in charge of a riverboat. Now every time I get on a boat, I only see the red blood running over the deck into the water. I try to take my own son fishing, but we never stay out long. The fish don't seem to bite when I take him out. He goes out with someone else's father. They catch fish. My son's too young to understand. His father does not like the reflections in the water he sees. For these reasons, I just want to say I'm sorry. I did the best I could. To all your mothers and fathers and wives and sisters and lovers, I'm sorry I couldn't do any more. I wish I knew your name so I could touch them in the black stone here, but I don't. I'm so sorry. And then finally, from someone else, attached to this letter are my service medals. They belong to you, your family, your friends. I don't need them to show I was there. I have your faces to remind me in my sleep. Rest well, my brothers. May the wind be to your back, the sun in your face, on the day we meet again. Please do one thing. Tell me your name. So as we were walking out there, and after we'd said our names, and the bell would ring, I think, you know, birth, ring the bell, death, life is what happens in between. And we want to know each other's names. We want to know who we are. We want to be seen and listened to. And here in this temple, this beautiful temple, people feel themselves here, sitting mornings and the evenings. And it's a temple because it also offers forgiveness. It offers a chance to just be who we really are. Because in the end, when we really are close, we know we're going to die. What matters? Here in the temple, we can say what matters is, how did I love? How did I love in this life? Did I love well? Did I really care for people around me, for the trees, the garden? Did I pay attention when I heard somebody was in trouble? It's a path of healing. That's why we're here. It's a path that encourages us to call back our spirits, to acknowledge our loss and our joy, to share the joy in this place that we also want to generate out into the world. I love it when you open the doors here, you know, both those doors flung open at some point this morning. And I thought, yeah, that's how it feels here. It feels like this is an open place where people can come. So I hope that this will give you a chance to think about, what do I really care about? What do I want to put my energy forward toward? But what do I want to honor that's happening now? What do I care about now? And what am I hoping I can contribute to those who are coming? To sharing the whole of it. To calling yourself back.